The Hubble telescope turns 25. April 24th marks the 25th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope. And we have with us this morning John Trelt, who is the Ball Senior Program Manager, Ball Aerospace, involved with a lot with the Hubble telescope. John, take us back. I don't know, how many years do we have to go back before when the concept of a Hubble telescope was first thought of to be put out into space?
So in the 1940s, Lyman Spitzer first wrote a paper projecting that if you put a space telescope above the Earth's atmosphere, you could actually see things you could never see from the Earth. It wasn't until the 70s when NASA got money to start building the telescope, and it was developed in the 70s and 80s and ready for launch in 1990.
Now, what I remember when it was launched, there was a lot of fanfare, excitement about this. And then once it got up there, the news stories kind of shifted to more of issues or problems. What was that beginning time period like, and how are you involved?
Well, so I was in my mid-20s and just caught up in that excitement of launch and how we were going to see what's never been seen before and the best telescope ever made. And the shuttle launched and Hubble got out there, and within a few weeks we were devastated because it was out of focus. And it was just crushing. But, you know, humans are very resilient, and we were able to work. NASA figured out what was wrong with the mirror, and at Ball Aerospace we worked with NASA to build an instrument that would exactly correct for the flaw in the primary mirror. And in 1993, a space shuttle went up. Spacewalking astronauts took this instrument that I helped build, put it into Hubble, and lo and behold, things got much clearer.
Now, when it first was blurry and it didn't work right, did they then look at the original kind of drawings for it and the schematics and figure out, well, this is the reason why? Or did they have to kind of work with what was up there? And what was the technology or the science behind that?
So it was a little of both, but the biggest lead was they found a piece of test equipment that was used to make that mirror. And that test equipment was just a fraction too long. So that was the explanation. And once we knew that, we knew exactly what was in space. You know, there was still uncertainty. I have to say that we were on pins and needles when we launched the repair, because you can imagine if you went to fix Hubble and you didn't, it would have been even worse than the first time.
Right. And even that time, 25 years ago, technology to be so precise probably was a little more difficult than even, you know, that it is today with technology and be able to be exact. Because that's the thing about science and space. No pun intended, everything gets magnified when you move out into space.
Yeah, the amazing thing about Hubble is it was designed to be serviced by or refurbished or worked on by astronauts in the space shuttle. And that's allowed it, after 25 years, to still be state-of-the-art and relevant. Every 5 years or so, the Ball Aerospace has now built 7 different cameras and instruments for Hubble. Every 5 years or so, the astronauts would go up and install the latest technology. You know, if I think about what my life was like in 1985, telephones were connected to the wall. We didn't have iPhones. We didn't have the computers or PCs. So, but today we have these amazing CCD digital cameras, and those are the kinds of cameras that we've been able to upgrade Hubble with.
And you're also able to share this with the public, get the whole planet involved with, you know, websites, the pictures. People can use those for, you know, on their computers to kind of just see the glory of what's out there in space. What are some of the major accomplishments then that have happened in the last 25 years with the Hubble telescope?
So the two that really jumped to mind for me, the first is shortly after it was repaired, someone discovered a comet that had broken up and was going to crash into Jupiter. And Hubble had a ringside seat to watch as these big chunks of comets slammed into Jupiter. And it certainly taught us a lot about our solar system and what could happen. Another great Hubble discovery was Hubble was pointed at a blank part of the sky. You know, if you went and looked with even our other powerful telescopes, it would look blank. It stared there for 10 days just to see what would be there in the very, very dimmest, farthest reaches. And lo and behold, they found over 3,000 galaxies, some of which were over 10 billion years old, just in this blank part of the sky.
We're talking today with John Trelt from Ball Aerospace. He's a senior program manager. Who controls the telescope and tells it, today we're pointing it in this direction? Because I would assume at the telescope, if you're not pointing in that direction, you'll miss what's on the other side or somewhere else, or is there a different way this is handled?
So NASA actually controls the day-to-day operation, but I think one of the fascinating parts of Hubble is that who gets to decide where it's pointed. And astronomers from all over the world every year submit their very best proposals. And for every one person that's picked, there's five that don't make the cut. So it's competitively selected to look at the very best compelling science, and it's done on a yearly basis so that Hubble's always looking at things that are relevant and cutting edge.
Is Hubble as cutting edge as it can be, or are there other telescope options or ways of viewing space that we're looking into in the future?
So their ground-based observatories are getting more and more powerful. Now, in addition, NASA's working on the James Webb Space Telescope, which is designed to replace Hubble. It's scheduled to be launched in 2018, and Ball Aerospace has built all the mirrors. Those mirrors are now done for that telescope. So Hubble has about 5 to 10 years left in its life, and James Webb will launch in 2018. So there should be an overlap of some time where they're able to compare the two. But then the torch will be handed from Hubble off to the James Webb telescope.
Now, all the pictures that I see from Hubble and many different things have a lot of colors to it. Are those colors really there, or is there some enhancement going on?
Well, it's kind of cool because one of the reasons Hubble is so appealing to people is because of these beautiful visual pictures. The cameras on Hubble have filters, and those filters are able to take pictures that can then be combined to see what the human eye would see. Now, so some of them are enhanced, but really you're looking at true color as seen by Hubble.
Now, this kind of also, I guess, bridges a little bit of that science and art. Are there very, and sometimes, you know, a picture worth a thousand words or even maybe lots of money related to that, is there ways that Hubble is also kind of allowing us to understand space more in the sense that we want to continue to explore? Because a lot of times, especially in the United States, maybe budget gets cut for space and there's parts of it that we've stopped focusing on what's out there and kind of deal with what's here on the ground. Is Hubble a good emissary in that regard?
Yeah, and I think, it's at the forefront of astronomy in an interesting way. I work on the Kepler Space Telescope as well. I manage that effort. And that has found over 1,000 planets around stars in our galaxy. So Hubble is now spending a fair amount of time looking at these. They're called exoplanets, planets around other stars. When Hubble was launched, we didn't really know. We could imagine planets around other stars. Now we know they're out there. So there's a whole new realm of science. And fortunately, there's a lot of excitement about looking for another Earth, and Hubble's part of that story.
Who or what was Hubble?
Edwin Hubble was a cosmologist and astrophysicist, brilliant man, and he came up with the concept that the universe is expanding. So when the telescope was launched, it was named in his honor.
Again, this is the 25th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope. You mentioned how you were a young man when it was first going on. Now you're a little more seasoned. Is there still a lot of new young blood coming into this field and excitement, same thing that you had back in the 80s?
You know, I think it's that, and it's even grown. Space with SpaceX and the Falcon 9 rocket and the space station and the thought of going to Mars. You know, it's a beautiful time to be an engineer, a scientist. It's just a land of opportunity.
Our guest today has been John Trelch, Ball Senior Program Manager. Again, the 25th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope, first launched on April 24th. If people want to find out more about Hubble Telescope, the new telescope that may be going up, what's a good place for them to kind of get reacquainted with this?
So if you just Google Hubble Space Telescope, it'll take you to the NASA site. Great information. You can also go to ballaerospace.com, learn about all the great missions we've done, Hubble, Spitzer, Kepler. We even do a lot of the Google pictures that you see.
Is there a favorite picture that you have or something maybe you have in your office or somewhere that reminds you of what you do and how it's great to be a part of this?
And one of the pictures I just love is of the Tarantula Nebula. It's an area where stars are being formed, and there are stars there that are 100 times more massive than our sun being created in the images that we're looking at.
Sounds good. John Trelch, the Ball Senior Program Manager. Again, the Hubble Telescope celebrating its 25th anniversary. John, thanks for sharing the details. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.